On today's Blazing episode, we'll cover Battlefield 6 and their roadmap ahead, Black Ops 7 Zombies, real-time strategy game Tempest Rising, Razer's new GPU external dock, and much more.
Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 302. We're just marching to 400. No, yeah, a long way yet. But my name is GreyGamer25, and my compadre here.
And I am Hans, known as Megal from Hell, and I'm much cleaner now. So
you got to tell me. I think you told me this story once, but I don't remember it. What was the origin of Megal from Hell, the game name you use?
Oh my god, that goes back 15 to 16 years ago, I think, maybe even longer.
My name goes back that far too.
Yeah, did you ever hear of a game called Dark Age of Camelot?
It's one
of the first online 3D MMOs. I mean, not the first, but it was up there right in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my own account, and that account was hacked at some point. And you know, back in those days, getting an account back was like really hard, because when you created the account, you had to have a secret word, which of course I didn't wrote down, so no chance of getting my account back. So yeah. I went on a website to buy an account, and the account I got was Megal from Hell with the account name. It's like,
really?
Cool. And there was an email attached to it. Also, yeah. Megal from Hell at something something, right? I'm not going to give my email here. And
did you keep that one too?
Yeah, still got it. Really? Still using it. It's my my secondary email, so to speak. So there's really not more to that story. That's it.
I think GreyGamer25 goes back at least, at least 25 years probably by now, because I remember having to pick the name, I believe, when I first joined Steam. And I joined Steam a long time ago, you know, and stuff. So I'm guessing it's about that old, but I never really wrote it down or thought about it, but it's old. It's definitely old.
Yeah.
And I remember when I picked the name, I thought, oh, Greg Gamer sounds good, because I'm getting a little older. Now I'm a lot older. And then I kept on putting Greg Gamer, no good. So I go, Greg Gamer 5, no good. Greg Gamer 10,
just went up.
No good. Yeah, I just kept on going until I finally reached 25, and they go, okay, that's good.
Cool.
And I go like, all right, whatever.
I'm actually glad though, because my original gamer tag was so cringe. So, and I'm not I'm not gonna repeat that here. So,
Wait a minute, you opened it up, so now you got to say it.
Are you sure you're not gonna get demonetized for this one?
Well, as long as it's not, you know,
it is.
Well, they do like beep.
Well, it is, you know, cyber like... beep cyber SL.
Oh, okay, yeah, I get that.
Right. Yeah, so yeah. I was like, I'm so glad I didn't keep that name.
I was gonna say, that would have been rough, especially if you had like a romantic interest. What's your game name?
That one. And you know, it's all fun and games when you're in high school, and once you actually need to go and apply for jobs, and they see your email cybers. I was like, we can't have this anymore.
Wow, that would have been great.
Yeah,
that would have been a good comedy, like in a good comedy show. What's your? Okay.
Yeah. I was like, we can't have this anymore.
That reminds me. I know we digress a little bit, but that people love that. There was a football league over here that started competing with the NFL over here. This goes back some years. I forgot what it was called. They changed the name and everything, but they allowed the players, instead of putting their last name on the back of their jersey, they could put whatever they wanted, as long as you limit it to X amount of characters, right?
Yeah. Bad idea.
Dude, there was nothing profane, obviously, that could be used. Okay. But there was some very bizarre, you know. I felt bad for the broadcasters, because they're trying to say these whatever's written on the back of the jersey. They stopped doing it and just went number 5, number 10, number 20, number...
I see the same if you're playing like an online game, right? Like World of Warcraft. The amount of names and creativity in names you see is like, it's like insane, right? One of the best I ever saw was in World of Warcraft, you got this class called a Warlock, right?
Yeah.
So somebody named this Warlock Lucky Balboa. Which is, I mean, I would have never thought of it. It was so great.
That's good. That's at least that's thoughtful. Yeah, they really got into it. Yeah. Nowadays, people just throw whatever name and letters up, and you know.
I usually try to set my name in game, but yeah.
Well, the only thing with your name is that you got a long one, boy. I mean, Magofrom has a lot of letters.
You should see my email. That's attached to this one.
All right, we'll move along. We're going to get into some game news. I thought this article was kind of interesting. This is a gentleman called David Jaffe. David Jaffe is, if you didn't know already, he created the first God of War. Or actually, I think he goes all the way back with God of War, if I remember right.
He created God of War.
Yeah, and he basically said that now he's commenting on the Game Pass price hikes. We all were talking about how we didn't like it, obviously. But he comes out and says that he does like it. And I'm like, what? So he goes and says that, you know, despite the fact that there's been recent price increases, he goes, it's a pretty steep increase for sure, but I won't be canceling. He said he compared the annual cost of Game Pass with the retail prices of individual games he has played or plans to play. That brings a total. This is now the games that he would buy, and he added them up. He said that brings a total to basically $700. He said, or you can pay Game Pass, even at the inflated price now, for $360. So essentially, he's saving a lot of money. This is the way he's looking at it. And if they also include those games, then you have a bunch more games you can play on top of that. So to him, it makes sense, even if the price increase is there. So he says, the price increase is steep and it's not great, but I'm going to keep it anyway. So, all right.
Yeah, but can we mention the fact that David Jaffe is a multimillionaire? And
yeah, and it doesn't matter to him, right? He's trying to talk like it matters to him. But, well, he says, he goes, yes, you would own the games. And I know that's important to some people who watch. And I respect that. I get that. But because I don't really care about those things, there you go. I don't really need to own the games, he explained. Once I'm done with Ninja Gaiden 4, I probably will never go back to it. I don't need it on my shelf somewhere.
Well, okay. that's the opposite of me. But
okay. Yeah, that's definitely the opposite of you, no doubt. And if for people out there that don't know this already, Hans has got an amazing collection of actual, real games. Physical,
baby.
His collection is probably worth God knows what not by now.
Too much.
Oh, and you got some great statues. How many statues you got all together now?
Statues.
I know you don't have a million, but you got a few now, right?
20, I think.
Oh, is it 20? Oh wow,
around 20. Yeah, I don't top of my head, but statues they mostly come with collector's edition. So every now and then I buy one separately because there's a cool one.
Yeah,
but depends. Like
I thought you had like 10, 20. 20's pretty good.
Yeah, but there's a few small ones also. Like I have a few of those small World of Warcraft statues from named characters, and then I got some Star Wars Jedi Survivor small figurines and that kind of stuff. So
cool.
If you want to count those, I mean, then it's 20. If you count the big ones, like, or the bigger ones, like the one here behind me from Elden Ring, then I think it's like six or something,
for
six, seven.
For our YouTubers, let's see the Elden Ring one again. Put that on the Elden, there.
Which one do you want? You want Melania or you want?
I don't care. Whatever one you want.
We got Melania here. The sword is not in my hand at the moment. So,
did it come colored like that, or did you have to paint it?
No, come colored. But I do think the one from Shadow of the Erdtree Tree is a lot cooler, to be fair.
Oh, wow. That's so wild.
That's actually the reason I bought the collector's edition.
That's pretty wild. That's nice.
Then there is one here that you will probably love very much.
Oh, yeah. Triss.
Yeah.
Yeah, Triss from Witcher. I like that. That's good.
And if you want to see the biggest one,
statue. Oh God, don't drop it!
No! This is the biggest one that I got.
Holy moly!
So
that thing is like huge.
It is, yeah. It's a.
How tall is that to the tip of the wing?
I don't know, Gray.
It looks from when you held it next to you. It looked like at least 2.5 feet.
50 centimeters. 55. Okay. Yeah, I don't know feet. I'm sorry. People.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm sorry.
We use the metric system over here, so.
Yeah, I know. It's all right. That thing is gorgeous. That one is really
nice. It is,
nice.
Yeah. That's the one I bought separately on one of those gaming conventions. Like, I gotta have this.
And by the way, people that are listening on audio right now, tune in to play to YouTube, because we do have a video version of this that comes out a day or so after the audio, and we usually put in some little, you know, shiny things, we call it. And that's one of them. So if you want to see the statues that Hans has, pick up the YouTube broadcast and take a look at that.
One second, though. Speaking of gaming conventions, this Saturday I will be at Gameforce in Belgium, which is in Brussels, which is one of the bigger gaming conventions over here. So we'll see if I can get some pictures and stuff for next week.
Yeah, Dynamite. That'd be great. I love to show that stuff on, especially with the YouTube audience, you know, looking at it. You guys over there are so lucky. We have nothing here. Well, I'm not going to say nothing entirely. I mean, the problem is this country is so big that if you want to go to something like, the San Diego convention, that's 4,000 miles away from me.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Sorry,
for you, isn't
I'm
it?
Not doing that. And then the next one.
He's maybe coming over to Cologne next year. Maybe. We'll see. Yeah, but we'll try. We're trying. We're trying to get great to Gamescom next year. So.
Yeah, hopefully. I plan on it. I definitely plan on it.
Travis coming, you said. So now we need Gray to confirm this one. And
you know what's so cool about when I see you go to these shows? Years ago, I'm going way back now, before you were born, we had LAN parties and stuff like this all the time. I mean, like virtually at least twice a month. And those were a blast. We used to go there. Some of us would bring our computers. We'd be competing against each other. There'd be people with tables selling games and other stuff. I mean, it was.
We did that too, Gray. And by the way, for the audience, I'm 48, so I'm not that young anymore.
Well, yeah, but I got you by 20, so.
Yeah.
So we used to, but then all of a sudden when it started to die off and stuff, now there's nothing anymore. There's just nothing. And it's a bummer because those were always fun to go to.
The thing is, though, you lost E3, and I think that was a major loss.
Yeah.
Because it used to be the biggest one in the world. Everyone was like, oh, E3, what are they going to do at E3? And that has now completely shifted to Gamescom. Eh? That's the biggest one now. Every reveal is over there now. Which
I think the
organizers from Gamescom did that marvelously in taking it over. So they saw the opportunity, the marketer was a void, and they took it completely over at that point. Which I think has a lot to do with attrition,
with the economy, the price of games, and it all combines.
Yeah.
So over here, they die out quicker. Over there, at least they tend to live on a little. What was the all night one that went out? Now it's coming back. I can't remember it now. Insomnia.
That was in the UK, I guess. Insomnia.
Yeah, so you guys had it, and then all of a sudden it died, and I thought it was never coming back. Now all of a sudden they're saying it's coming back.
Yeah,
it's only been gone
least,
two or three years.
Yeah, it's new owners, and they try again, and let's hope they succeed. I mean, I'm pro all of these cons, so the more we get, the better. I mean, the one I'm going to on Saturday is small in comparison to Gamescom and Insomnia and all these others, right? But for Belgium norms, this is a big one.
Is there any Belgian devs?
Probably. Is it Baldur's Gate 3? Right? That was that was a Belgian studio, Larian.
That's true.
We can make some games over here.
All right, moving on to a different story. Path tracing. We want to talk about that a little bit. We saw that baked into Doom. Or actually, no, it came in an update about a month after Doom, the Dark Ages came out. And the devs at ID. Who create the Doom series, the new Doom series, said it took 6 months to implement path tracing into Doom. But they also think that this tech, because now it's becoming more popular, is going to spread around. So we'll see. Doom the Dark Ages was the sixth game to have a path tracing. The other games were Cyberpunk 2077, Disordre, whatever, Alan Wake 2, Black Myth Wukong, and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Funny that they played them all.
Yeah, did a couple. They said the Doom franchise did not support the technology at launch, but a month later, they released an update that did put it in. So basically, they were kind of working on it, but they couldn't get it in time for the launch, and they didn't want to hold up the launch. And I was sitting there thinking, like, well, I don't know. How much better could path tracing really be? I was really shocked because when I played the Doom game after that update, you definitely can see the differences. Now, granted, you're moving so fast in a lot of things, you don't get time to enjoy some of it. But when you look at some of the before and after still shots and stuff, there's a definite difference.
Oh yeah.
And I think the thing that's cool about the path tracing is that because it's baked in from the beginning, some of your video cards that may not be 5090s or something can run it. Because it's all driven by mostly the software, the drivers, not so much the GPU because of it being baked right into it. So that offers a chance for other people to be able to enjoy. Well, that's part of the reason why Doom is so well optimized across the board, especially this Doom last one. Because of path tracing baked in. People were playing it on 30 series cards and still having fun with it.
As it should be.
So, true. Very true.
Yeah.
He said path tracing is now a part of the ID Tech 8 engine, so that means everything they make will now contain that. Or have that baked in, I should say. They said they're going to continue to research and develop this whole area. Again, they believe that it's going to be something that's going to start to trickle down to all the other games, which really would be nice, should be. The only thing I kind of wonder, though, is ID really only makes Doom right now. I don't think they've made anything else but Doom the last few.
To my knowledge, no. Doom, that's it. Yeah.
And I think ID Tech is Tech 8. Is their proprietary? I don't think anybody else uses that engine, except them.
Yeah, it's their own engine, probably. Yeah.
I would love to see them like grab a hold of something like the Wolfenstein series and use their. You know, imagine how good it could be if they had.
But the last Wolfenstein wasn't very good, and I think that series needs a little more time cooling off until they will try it again. 100% Wolfenstein will.
I'm in an earthquake. See that? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm saying it would be weird for them never to touch Wolfenstein again at some point, right? It will happen.
Well, I'm hearing there's going to be another one now. Yeah. It's been a long time since they came out with the last one, which was garbage.
The last one was really poorly received, also. And
yeah, it was a stupid concept.
It wasn't a good game. Let's be honest, it wasn't a good game.
No.
And they need to do it better. But Wolfenstein is coming back 100%. When, we don't know, of course. But yeah,
I mean, the good thing is about the other Wolfensteins that did come out. Are actually very replayable. You can go back and have a lot of fun with them, which is nice.
True.
But yeah, it almost is like the series kind of just like ended, and we're like, what? You know, like we need to see some more stuff. This next little thing I was reading, I want to get your viewpoint on this one as well. The Razer GPU. I'm always interested to see whether eGPUs, which are outboard GPUs that run like on for laptops, and you know, because they can't run a big card. And I always wondered, like, is it actually realistic enough to use? This guy decided to dive into it a little bit to see what goes on. He was hooking up to his laptop. No, not his laptop, his handheld, which is interesting.
So that's
He was playing the Lenovo, and he also messed around with some of the other ones, like the Ally as well, but he found he liked the other one better. And he decided to go ahead and pick up the one from Razer, the outboard dock for the GPU, put a 5090 in it, and then played some of the games, and he definitely noticed a difference.
Yeah.
At the same time, he also said that, no, it's not going to be quite as good as having the PC.
You're losing a lot of performance, still.
Right, but for a handheld, it looks, you know, way better, which is kind of neat. The only problem, I guess, is you're tied down to the fact that you really can't move. I mean, it's not if you play.
I kind of wanted to explore that one with my previous laptop, not this one. And I backed off from the idea because at that point, the best one you could get, you could put in like a 38 or 3080i, and the 40 series wasn't supported yet on any eGPU. Now, I did read a few days ago that there is now one that can do the 50 series and the 40 series, which is probably one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I would love to test those, but I do think you still lose about 40 to 50% of your
with this one by Razer, and usually I like Razer products. I have a couple of them, but one, here's one thing that stopped me dead when I was sitting there reading it. First it's costly, but you know, I get it. I understand.
They are, yeah.
But here's the thing. It said that basically the drawback is that it does not have an integrated PSU power supply. So that would mean you would have to get an outboard power supply to run the dock. And I'm going like, what?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I think the reason why that happened, which is not a good reason, is the fact that they knew it was going to be costly. So if they put in an integrated PSU, it would have been even more money. And they probably thought nobody would buy it. Well, guess what? I don't think I'd buy it if I have to go find a PSU.
No,
so
me unless, neither. That's,
unless you
that
have...
That kind of beats the point of an eGPU.
Exactly. So unless you have an old, power supply laying around that you can use, you're dead in the water.
Yeah,
I mean, no. it's not going
to
work.
But to be fair, though, it will allow for the eGPU to draw more power from the card, which is probably, I think, one of the bottlenecks that those other eGPUs have, because they were all about USB-C type connectors. And yeah, I think it just can't draw enough power from those things. I'm not really sure if all our eGPUs have like a power supply with them. I don't think so. I'm not sure. I'm not too versed in those things. But if you can hook an actual PSU on there, which kind of beats the point of an eGPU.
Right. But
technically, I think you can draw a lot more power and have a lot more performance, but yeah, I wouldn't do it. No. It's too much of a hassle.
I would imagine
you would have your laptop or your handheld and your eGPU and your power supply if you go on the road, which is crazy. So,
You can't drag that kind of stuff along. You're better off having a gaming laptop like you have if that's the case.
Yeah.
Plus, when you start adding up all the money, I mean, you almost could buy the laptop you got, probably.
The laptop itself is also probably pretty expensive at that point already, so...
I never thought gaming laptops would ever take off and do anything, and yet now there's a market for them.
I still think a bit of a side tangent, though. Besides from the money, right, take the money aspect out of it, I still think it's amazing what, like, in my case, the 49 laptop can do. Mm-hmm. Because in the end, it's a laptop still. And like a few years back, this was unthinkable that a laptop could do those kind of things. Right? Yeah. I mean, I can game it with zero compromises in most games. Exception Indiana Jones and The Great Circle. That just refused to run flat out on a laptop.
I think the first gaming laptop I saw was over 2 years ago. I can't remember the maker. But I do remember that it was kind of thick. I mean, it wasn't like a thin laptop. It was like about
They weigh like 4 kilograms also. So.
Yeah. But I was surprised when I was messing with it. It was at a store or something. I had to see what it was all about. But I was really shocked that it actually was running some stuff, and it didn't look too bad.
It is,
so that was kind of interesting.
My laptop also, it has a OLED screen. It has HDR. It has everything you could actually want. And I do see why some people, like we talked about this before, the person I bought it from, he used to be a truck driver. And I do see why some people would buy it in that case. You have your high-end PC on the road.
Sure.
I mean, there is an argument to be made now, but yeah, the money, yeah, that's a different discussion.
I guess if you're going to use it all the time and not have a PC or a tower PC or whatever, then I guess would be justified.
And probably if you total up the amount of money you spend on your desktop, right, including the screen, including the keyboard,
true.
Right? You're probably not that far off of something like that. So
I guess the only drawback, well, if you're on the road, it doesn't really matter. But when you're here, you want to plug it into maybe a bigger monitor. Now, you did it, and it seems to run on your widescreen.
Fine,
okay.
Yeah.
Which is good. So you have the best of both worlds there. Have you taken it anywhere recently?
Whenever we go like on a mini vacation or something, right? Or we go away for the weekend to take the laptop. And it's an 18-inch screen, which is... awesome, right? 18 inch. It isn't that big, but for a laptop, that's like great, right? And I played Assassin's Creed on there. You know, I get like what with DLSS and frames, and I got like 100 FPS on that thing, max out settings, which is crazy. So
I'm surprised that has 18 inch. I've never seen bigger than 17 on a laptop.
Yeah, this is 18. They started this 18 inch, which I think in reality is 17.8. I think.
Well,
they
do the diagonal.
Nobody
measures it left to right anymore. They did.
There's some form of trickery there, but anyway, though, I'm pleasantly surprised about that laptop, what it can do, right? And not just that one, because you got 4090 laptops now, which cost like over 5,000 euros at some point.
Wow.
I mean, you got the 5070 Ti laptop, which I think is a budget laptop, but you can do multi-frame generation on it, right? So I think those are all cool things that you can do it in such a small form factor.
If you can call the weight of it a small form, but yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, 4 kilograms kind of maybe beats the point of taking it everywhere. And
you're not lugging your PC everywhere, so that's definitely...
True, but
you've
got to be honest, though. If you use a laptop like that without electricity, like just like that, you lose like half, you know, the performance, and the battery dies in like 1.5 to 2 hours if you're gaming.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say.
So it's kind of you need to plug them in. So
it's gotta suck a lot of power, no doubt.
Yeah, I think for a laptop, this one takes 380 or 375
watts
maximum. Yeah, what's which is not a lot compared to my PC. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for a laptop, it's a lot. So.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I love it. I love it. I don't think I would upgrade it anytime soon because I'm not that into laptops. I think they're a cool piece of technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually dabbled in the idea of could I replace my gaming desktop with a gaming laptop? So what I did was I played 1 month exclusively on my laptop, even on the screen. So I was like, nah, as cool as it is, no. I would still prefer my desktop over my time on the laptop.
Well, I guess that's why they call it a laptop.
Yeah, there you go. So. anyway, sorry for the long side tantrum.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, I got a shot. We're going to just kind of take care of the paperwork, as we say. If you want, join our Discord. It's discord.gg/Extreme Gaming Podcast. We've had actually quite a dozen or two people join recently, which has been nice. Over on YouTube, we are partners now, so finally, took a while. So if you could please, subscribe and thumbs up and hit the bell icon and all that kind of fun stuff. We're not out to sit there and make $1 million. We just basically want to cover our costs because it does cost a few bucks to do this, and we love to do this. But if we can recoup our costs, that just makes it easier on us to maybe provide even more for everybody because we can afford it. So also on YouTube right now, you can see the video version of this podcast. It usually varies a little bit or has a little more, like we call shinies, that we put into it to make it better and or could contain possibly a little extra footage, et cetera, et cetera. We also do shorter pieces. We call them quick breaks, and they're like 4, 5, 6 minutes long, 7 minutes. And that's, portions of our podcast that I pull out and maybe add a little bit to it and put it out there. So we know some of you people are, pretty busy and stuff, and you may not have time to listen to the full podcast because our full are usually 90 minutes to 120. And we love our people that do stick with us to listen to that our show that long, and there are a bunch, so all good. So just want to remind you that, and we'll just kind of move along. Pons, you said you were starting to play a different game that you wanted to comment about.
On Saturday we were actually, me and my real life friend, we play games regularly together, and we were a bit bored of Age of Empires. Like, we need something new to play every now and then. And we both checked our wishlist, and I just saw that there was a game right there that I wishlisted like a while ago called Tempest Rising. I was like, okay, what is this? Why did I wishlist this? And apparently, then I remembered this is the spiritual successor or one of the successors to the original Command & Conquer games. And I was like, ooh, steep price. Was like €50 new, so he bought it off a key site for 20.
Oh, really? That's good.
You go PC Master Race, right? So... we kind of took a gamble at the game. The reviews were good. They were all mostly positive. There weren't really any complaints on the discussion forums. Like, okay, we're going to take a shot here and let's try. So we bought the key, booted up the game. Game, again, is called Tempest Rising. So when you start the game, you only have two playable, factions. So which
only
one
two?
Is...
Okay.
Yeah, only two now. I think there's more planned, but we'll see. The game... came out in April, I think, already, but we completely forgot about it. To be fair, there's no more than 2,000 players online, so it's a bit of a niche game. But
sure.
For everybody that likes RTS games like Command & Conquer and all that kind of stuff, this apparently spoke to them. So again, when you boot it up, just like two factions, and one is, let's say it's the Americans and the Russians. They have different names, but it's clearly based on those two, right? So he took the Americans, I took the Russians to play with. And what we usually do is we do a co-op. We play together against, an enemy NPC. Like, we started off on easy, and we got trashed on easy modes. Like, what?
On easy?
We're being overrun on easy? So, like, okay, but you have to play, like, I think 5 or 6 games, right? Before we actually won on easy. Then we said, okay, let's bump it one up to normal. And that's when it started hitting the fan, right? when you create the game, you have some options you can do, like more starting cash, population limit, put it on 500, which is the maximum. We took a map where we have a bit of a natural barrier, or so we thought. And okay, let's start the game. We know how to do it now. We know what to build, we know what to play, and all that kind of stuff. So we boot up the game. I built my base, I built my units. We were 43 seconds into the game, right? And all of a sudden, the enemy is there shooting my base and shooting my units already.
At what point? 43
seconds, right?
43 seconds.
43
okay.
seconds in the game. So I was being attacked already. Okay, my buddy saved me. He came to the rescue with the little units he had in 50 seconds, so to speak, right? And okay, we kind of survived that first wave, and then we just, I think at the 2 minute mark, we just got zerked, right? Completely annihilated. And then you have the post game where you can see all the stats. All right. This computer on normal made 179 units in like 2 to 3 minutes.
Wow.
At that point of time, I had barely had all my buildings up to start producing units, right? So what you do is you put a building down. In my case, first you put down a machine workshop. And then in the machine workshop, once that is built, you build a harvester. With the harvester, you can go harvest money or credits in this case, right? So, but it takes like a minute for one of those harvesters to come out. By that time, I was already getting attacked. So I had my barracks down, put a few lousy units out there to have some form of defense.
Yeah.
And yeah, that didn't really work. So we had to regroup something. And apparently what we did was when we started the game up, the enemy behavior, right?
Yeah.
We put him on aggressive. So what we did then, we put him back on defensive. So we could actually learn a little bit of the game. And then things, at least we could hold out. But when we came with our big army, so to speak, which consisted about, let's say, 100 to 120 units combined of me and my friend, we came into his base, right? And it was like, oh my God, there was like 400 units there. And we completely got annihilated because... So what we think happens is, the speculation is that we start with 20,000 credits, which is not a lot, which is the maximum you can set it. And I think the computer, the PC just has infinite money, right?
And
of course, you know, the NPC, they can click all the hotkeys in 1 microsecond and do all the kind of stuff. We have to click individually.
Right.
And but yeah, so far our experience. But about the game itself, right? Have you ever played Command & Conquer?
Oh yeah, sure.
Back in the day. So it's basically a carbon copy of Command & Conquer Red Alert. Especially, I think, the Red Alert with the Wrath of Cain, I think it is.
Except they didn't annihilate you in 43 seconds or whatever.
Yeah. So the interface looks the same. The factions basically play the same. There's cool units in there. I think there's a lot of variety in there. Yeah. You need to do your research. You know, all the usual trope you have in those games, right? And the thing is, though, if you're not a fan of RTS games, then this game is not for you, of course, right?
Sure.
But me and my friend, we love those games. We very rarely play online against other players because we're just not good enough. We did it once with Age of Empires. No, with Age of Mythology Retold. The new Age of Mythology
Can't remember the name.
It was like, okay, we won against three ludicrous enemies, I think it was. So the hardest one you could get. I was like, okay, we're ready. We're going to play online a game. Just the two of us, we team up. We're gonna fight some other dude, right? Yeah, that didn't end very well. So we got annihilated in, I think, 10 minutes or something. So that shows that the people that are actually playing RTS competitively, they are so good, man. I mean,
oh yeah, they're amazing.
It's insane how they do that thing. I have so much respect for those guys.
Because I saw a video on YouTube of the competitive RTS, and I could not believe how fast they're building stuff.
Yeah,
it was insane.
They're just typing on the keyboard all the time, and I can't do that, right? I play those games for the fun of it. I like those games, but I will never, ever reach that level of competence in that game, so to speak. But we had fun in this one, right? Tempest Rising, it's not the best RTS game, of course. But it's certainly not the worst, because RTS is a genre that's a bit in, I can't say in danger, but it's become very niche, right? Back in the days of Command & Conquer, everybody on the PC was playing either an RTS game or playing a point-and-click game, because there wasn't really anything else we could play back in those days on the computer.
Right.
Or at least those were the main ones, so to speak. And... yeah, RTS, it's not in a good place at the moment. I mean, the most played RTS are still the older ones.
Yeah, but you know what? A while back they said RTS is dead and just forget about it. Don't bother making any new ones. But you know, I think it's been on a mini surge lately. I mean, remember, people forget sometimes that Civilization essentially is an RTS, and a lot of people play that, except the new one that everybody seems to hate for some reason. And some of these other games, you could call, I guess you could say some of them are RTS hybrids, but there's still enough of the RTS in it, you know, to keep it as an RTS. And I like RTS a lot. I know a lot of, you know, there's a certain section of people, our friend Trev included, that don't really like RTS. But and the other one is, what's the other one that's not RTS? The, I can't think of the name right now.
There's so many examples.
Oh, turn-based. Turn-based.
Yeah, no, that's nothing for me. I mean, I would play that single player, like solo, but not with a friend. Because otherwise you have to wait like 5 minutes until your friend is done with his turn and kind of stuff. So that's, not my thing. It's not good for multiplayer. So
I like both the RTS and I like the turn-based because, I don't know, it's just different. But Expedition 33 is turn-based, and people that never played turn-based are liking that game.
Yeah, but that's an RPG.
It is, but it's still turn-based. The combat is
all turn-based. Yeah, but I mean, Expedition 33, or Claire's Cure, or whatever you want to call it now, but it's the whole title, I guess.
Right.
I mean, that's a love letter to the older Japanese-style RPGs, which were all turn-based, like you see in the back, maybe here, Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy III. Those are considered to be the two best turn-based RPGs ever made. Right? And it's a bit of a love letter to those kind of games. They did a twist on there, I think, which was cool with the timing and all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I like the game a lot. For me personally, Clair Obscur Expedition 33 is the game of the year. And I think there's a big chance it's going to win it. We'll see. But what I was going to say about Tempest Rising now, right? So if you're into your old school RTS games, right? Then you will like this game. It is a bit bare-boned with only two factions at the moment. I gotta be honest, I haven't looked into a roadmap or anything. There probably is one, because from what I read, this game was kickstarted at some point, so there has to be something that they put out there so people kickstarted it. So. And then,
well, you said how much was the game?
That's what I was gonna say. The game is €50, right, on Steam. And
that's
I was like...
That's a little steep for what it is.
That's too steep for what it is, right? We bought it for 20, and I think if you can get it for 20 to 25, you have a good deal, and you will get your money out of it if you like RTS games.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan of RTS games, then stay well away from this one. And it's also the older Command & Conquers, you would have some time to build up your army, right?
Sure.
This one, I guess, is more competitive because it's more based on a rushing tactic. So you just rush as fast as possible to the enemy and crush him.
But does Tempest have like slider difficulties to, you know, just to reset some of that?
You can choose the three difficulties, like easy, medium, hard, right? The usual one. And then when you create the game, what you can do is you can give yourself some extra money and some extra units at the start. But what you set there, the computer will also have.
So
there's not. It's not that. I mean,
you can do some stuff. You can't say I want 120 units, but they can only have 50.
No, you can't do that. No, it's not that. No. But you can see that the game is still in. It's not an early access game, but you can see that the game is still young, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if there is a roadmap, which I really should have looked into, I'm sorry, everybody, but I just got the game like Saturday, I think. So, and. There is potential here. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Let me check how many people are online now. And see, at this point, there's only 523 people in-game.
Yeah. Probably because the game hasn't been really widely publicized. I mean, we're giving it a shot now.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Greg.
No, I'm saying if the concurrent players all of a sudden goes up in a week or two, we can thank us, you know.
Yeah, but they do also have like ranked and leaderboards and all that kind of stuff, and I think they reset somewhere this month. So maybe after the reset, it probably goes up again. See, I'm not a competitive player because I don't have the skills for it.
Neither do I.
That's why
I like being able to go into a game and set it up to what your strengths are, I guess, or whatever, or what you're able to handle.
In our case.
Yeah.
But anyway, to make a long story short, I love the game. It's a typical old school RTS game with a bit of a shiny coat to it. Graphics are okay. Gameplay is fine. There's no stuttering or hitches, which is a lot in these days, apparently. But I have nothing negative to say about it. I would say if you can get it for $20, $25 or even on a sale, that's better than that. Just if you like RTS games, try it out.
Sure, why not? I think we also need to mention the what is it, the elephant in the room kind of thing. Battlefield 6 is out now. I was debating, because the prices are just too freaking expensive.
Yeah,
I wanted to get Borderlands 4 like you did, and I know I probably might enjoy it, but then I'm thinking like, I don't know. Battlefield 6 is coming, so I decided that I would hold off on Borderlands if I'm going to blow that much money and go with Battlefield 6, so I did. Now, I just bought it like late last night and installed it, so I haven't even messed with it. But I did play in the beta. Matt, one of our cohorts, played in the beta, and I played with him. And I had a lot of fun, especially in the tank. The tanks were fun. I mean, I was the shooter on top of the tank with my machine gun, turret, whatever. And Matt was driving the tank and shooting the big gun. And we had a blast, man. It was a lot of fun. And when you get blown up, of course, you get thrown out of the tank and you probably die most of the time.
Yeah.
And you just run around till you find like another tank. The only thing, and now this was early in the beta, that I didn't like was that the snipers were too good. I mean, it's bad enough people are good sniping, and I love sniping. Probably everybody knows it. Listen to this station.
Yo.
but... There, these are people who are like able to track you so much faster, and then just put their gun up, and it automatically locks on, and then the guy's dead. And I'm sitting there going like, well, that's stupid because there's no effort to that, you know. Now I've heard that they've changed that to the point where it's a little bit more like Sniper Elite, in the sense that you have to line up your shot. There's bullet drop going on, and you got to be able to also remember to move your scope, you know, to whatever meters they are away to help you shoot.
Yeah.
When people don't realize that, I had a laugh. I saw, I don't know if it was an article, I think, or a video, but the guy said that there's a guy that was really complaining about the snipers. He goes, watch this. And he showed up a video of him shooting somebody that was probably only maybe 30 meters away, right? And he's going, watch this. And he shoots him in the head, and the guy doesn't even move or die or anything. Now, when you look at it like that, you sit there and go like, oh, yeah, they're right. That sniping's not right. How can you shoot somebody in the head and they don't die? Yeah, well, what they didn't say was that he had his scope set for 200 meters. So he's trying to pick off someone at 30 meters with a 200-meter dialed-in scope.
Yeah, you know, I would probably be that guy, by the way, so just saying.
and I'm looking at him, and I see it. I see it's on 200, and I'm sitting there going, like, man, you got no room to complain, dude. Yeah. When's the last time you played a sniper game?
See, that's just where I would fumble also, because I love sniping in games, but when I think of Battlefield or Call of Duty and just those, you know, all those games, I think sniping is a scope. Oh, headshot, boom, dead, right? I don't take into any consideration about bullet drops and all those kind of things. So I would probably react the same as that guy without knowing what was going on, I mean.
I'm hoping, I haven't played yet, but one of the things that I've always not liked about games like this is the fact that they never give snipers any love. And like I said, I love Sniper. When I play Sniper Elite, I play it on hard. I don't play Authentic. Authentic is a little too hard. But I play hard, and I go through every campaign on hard, and I 3-star everything. So I'm used to it. I know how to change, you know, my scope. I know what to deal with, blah, blah, blah. Bullet drop the whole nine yards. But in these kind of games, they totally just crap on sniping.
Yeah, but to be fair, if you play Battlefield 6 or Call of Duty, right? Do you really, as a sniper, do you really have time to do all that kind of stuff in a competitive game?
Well, no. But here's the thing. Supposedly, and I won't know until I start playing Battlefield 6 again, I did play as a sniper in the beta. It was a little bit better, not much, but a little bit better than the typical. So in other words, I could get around some. I could shoot it at distance, you know, here and there, which was better than what I've seen. But it was a far cry, man, because I was getting run over by people and not able to pick off people like I should. That's the whole point. In Battlefield 6, what I'm hoping is that the new game, that now that the game's released, is that the whole idea of being the sniper and being in the class of a soldier you are in Battlefield 6, you're in a recon class. So obviously you're supposed to be far enough away that you can pick off people and report to your men, and then the guys on the ground go after, you know, whatever. But if it's not a true recon class and you're getting knocked out before you even have a chance to shoot, well, then why bother with the class? You know?
True.
I mean,
no, you're there for a reason. It needs to be balanced, right? In every online game, the class needs to be balanced, which is probably the hardest thing to do.
Oh, I agree. But
when
no
I
one,
play like, a shooter like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't really have time to think about my scope settings and my bullet drops and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right? Because you'd be
it's
dead.
A fast-paced. Yeah, it's a fast-paced game. I would have probably zero kills by the end. So
exactly. Yeah. So I'm not expecting it. But if they really did pay attention to the sniper class, the recon class, then I think I might have a whole new way to enjoy the game because I'll be able to actually do it. Because really, what should happen is that let's say I'm in the recon class and I'm a sniper and I'm trying to pick off people at 200, 300 meters, 400 meters away. Eventually, they figure out where the sniper is. When they eventually figure out where the sniper is, they either snipe them back or they send a unit out to take out the sniper. That's the way it should be done. And so then a sniper, if he knows the unit is coming for him, he's got to move and find another vantage point. That's the way it should be done. And that makes it exciting because you're like, oh, God, I've been seen. I got to find another place quick. And so that's your vulnerable point at that point. You're going to get picked off if you don't find a new vantage point and fast. So that's fine. That's great. But when you sit there and they don't give a damn about snipers and you get overrun every time, well, what's the use of having a sniper
that's
weapon?
What edition did you get, by the way?
Oh, I didn't get the Phantom edition. I read what you get for it.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was really worth spending another
$30. Because somebody asked a question in Discord and was like, ooh, that's a bit, you know, the price difference doesn't really warrant.
No, I paid 70 already and I didn't want to, but I paid 70. And the Phantom
Steam, by the
edition,
way, you bought it on Steam?
Or? Yeah, I bought it on Steam.
Steam, yeah. Okay.
And it was $30 more for the Phantom Edition. And I thought, they better give me a lot of good stuff. And I look at it and I go like, so? $30? It wasn't worth it. It's just not worth it.
There's a discussion to be made there. That's true.
You know, I mean, if they and then if they give you too much, then you have people going like, oh, it's pay to play because you just spent the extra 30 and now you can wipe me out.
Yeah. It's a thin line where you balance on as a developer. But I did hear, though, I'm not a FPS player myself because I'm playing Borderlands at the moment, but that is actually an exception because I'm not really good at those games, right? Borderlands, I'm okay with, but it's not comparable to, you know, Call of Duty or Battlefield and all kind of stuff. But I did hear that finally, for the first time in years now, apparently Battlefield should have Call of Duty beaten when it comes to pure gameplay.
Yeah.
I read somewhere, and that person, he quoted it very nicely. He said, Battlefield 6 is like one big giant apology letter to the players.
Right? Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm not a Battlefield player, so I can't say, but apparently it was in a very bad place. And this one is supposed to be really good.
I was reading some of the same things because I haven't really played a Battlefield game since Battlefield 1942, and that was out many years ago.
Yeah.
And I had fun with that one. And I did read a lot on people were very, very disappointed with the last Battlefield game. And they said all the things that they felt were wrong. And like you said, I give credit to the devs because I think they pretty much approached all these things and eliminated them and made it more the way they want. And apparently going forward, they're still listening to everybody that was in the beta. And they're still listening now that the game's out. And they're still going to make some changes.
Yeah.
Right. They did come out with a map, roadmap of what's going to be going on. So apparently, October 28th, they're going to be adding something that says Rogue Ops. I don't know a lot about it, but then there's
no
new
idea.
Map that they're going to release with that called Blackwell Fields, obviously oil fields. They are going to be introducing some new, I don't know if new classes, it looks more like new vehicles, Transverser Mark II. They're introducing about 1, 2, 3, 4 new weapons, apparently. There's also a rail cover. I'm not sure. I think that's some kind of an armor, basically. And this is all coming in the first the season one, I guess.
Yeah.
Going down the line, they're going to be doing a thing. One is called California Resistance. That's coming November 18th. That's going to add another map called Eastwood. No, not Clint Eastwood. And Eastwood, and then they're putting in a limited time mode called Sabotage. That sounds kind of interesting. And then of course they're introducing 1, 2, 3 new weapons and a new attachment.
Yeah.
And then coming around December 9th, they're going to come up with Winter Offensive, which is cool. They always have to like to do something different, right? Yeah. And they're also putting in another limited time event and a map to go with it called Ice Lock Empire State. Mm-hmm. They are also giving, ice climbing axe they're going to include, so you can apparently, I guess you're going to be climbing iced buildings. I don't know. Something like that. So this is all that's going to be going on over the next course of the next 3 months. And I think going further, they'll be having a season 2 and a season 3. But if they're going to introduce this kind of stuff in every season, I think that's pretty cool, because then you'll have more
there is a campaign also in there, isn't it?
Yes, there is.
Okay, I know people don't buy the game for the campaign, but it is still cool that there is something in there for people like me, so to speak, that like just single-player campaign. So
I always think they should come up with a good single. I don't have to have it be a long one, but make it good.
Yeah.
Now
the
advanced word supposedly that I've been hearing is that it's a mediocre, but that depends on who's doing it. Because if they're talking about the guys that are professional Battlefield 6 players that never do campaign, then maybe I won't know. But I'm going to play the campaign because it's a campaign, but also because I kind of look at it as being a kind of like a training ground. So you can get used to stuff.
I agree. Yeah, I agree in that
you
one.
Know? And it offers you the advantage.
Now
I'm saying it offers the advantage of being able to go back and replaying it if you still need to get, you know, a little better. One thing I noticed, though, and I understand this, but I haven't seen anything mentioned in these seasons that are going to be like more or added to the campaign. I think the campaign is a one and done, and that might be it, which I understand, but I kind of disappointed. I would like to see another, you know, little campaign or something thrown in there someday. Maybe it will.
Yeah, mostly just make one campaign and all the rest is on the multiplayer aspect, which is their bread and butter, by the way, because
sure,
I understand why.
Yeah,
but
of course.
I the thing is, though, I would kind of like to play it. For me, the campaign would be more interesting, but I'm not going to pay full price for the campaign, of course. That would be lunacy.
Well, to be honest with you, when the game gets into the really hardcore PvP kind of stuff, which I normally don't like by myself, but when I play with you guys, like with you and Matt and Trev and stuff like that, then it's fun. Because even if we don't lose together. Exactly. I mean, but at least we're having fun and we're learning a little bit here and there. Are we ever going to become as good as some of these people? No. But as long as we have a blast, I think that's part of the reason why I enjoy the tank so much, because it makes up for the fact that I don't play singly as well as some of these people. But I got a tank.
For me, I always play healing classes in MMOs and online games. So I would be your typical field medic, probably, or whatever it's called in Battlefield.
Oh, yeah. And some of the games, like, again, this beta was a month or two ago. But when I was playing, you know, I get shot or whatever, and I'm asking for a medic. They just run right by me. They don't do anything. It's like, too bad, man.
Bye.
And I'm kind of like, oh, great. What do you need a healing class for then anyway? You just die. You know, and I think part of that is the mentality that, you know, well, if you die, you're just going to come back anyway. So why do I got to save you?
True.
But if you want to play it in the spirit of the way the game is
but
meant,
then why play a field medic anyway?
Exactly. So if you play it like in a true way, then you like that. You know, again, it's all part of it. But, you know, we'll see. Anywho, we'll kind of move on. Let's see what else we got cooking here before the end of the show. by the way, I do want to say real quickly, although I'm not introducing it just yet, but if you remember in the past, we were talking to Merrick at gameho.io, and that is he heads a group that basically allows you to play servers, but you don't have to rent the server and pay all this money. You basically rent it, in a sense, by the hour, and it's not expensive whatsoever. And when you leave the game, it stays where you last left it. The clock, the money clock, stops. And then when jump back in where you left off, the money clock starts again, which nobody does. So we're working on a collaboration with him where our listeners will be able to go in with a certain web page, which we're going to give out. And when you get there, you will get 3 free hours and I believe another couple of hours on top of that, and be able to set up your server and experience GameHo. So if you want to look up what GameHo is all about, gameho.io, And then wait till we talk next week, and I'll give you more of the details of this collaboration where you can get extra free hours and so forth. So that should be kind of fun. By the way, Hans, did you see the Black Ops 7 Zombies trailer?
I saw part of it, but again, it's not something I gravitate to. So, I know it's there.
Trying to make it. Maybe I'm wrong, but they kind of make it seem like that's going to save the Black Ops 7 because people have been commenting about the normal Black Ops 7 game that it's not that.
The thing is, though. Last thing I heard about Black Ops, I think 6 was it then or whatever it was, they were adding Beavis and Butthead. I was like, what?
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, no, that's not a joke.
Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, yeah. I need to Google this very quickly
now. How do you do
that? Yeah.
That's for Fortnite, man. If you want to put those things in, put them in Fortnite.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, no, it's Call of Duty.
Just for instance, in Fortnite, they released
the Beavis and Butthead bundle. I'm not joking.
That doesn't make any sense, man. That's so dumb.
So
look, I just recently bought in Fortnite, the K-pop Demon Hunters, the three girls, and I did, you know, that do fight demons and all that. But I did that for a reason, not because I just wanted to play it, but my granddaughter thinks it's pretty cool. So when she saw it, she flipped out, you know, and we're playing together, you know, fighting the demons, and that's cool because that kind of stuff is meant for Fortnite. But if you do a Beavis and Butthead and put it in, it doesn't make any sense, man.
It
just cheapens the whole.
And that's why I was like, okay, this is what Call of Duty has become.
It's awful, like, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I would love to see, just for the sake of competition too, is I would love to see Battlefield 6 just wipe the floor with COD. I mean, I really hope it does end up that way. And it looks like it may just come about. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to talk about is Ubisoft again. Don't we love talking about Ubisoft and how they?
Yay! Everyone's favorite company.
And all the problems they have, which is a shame because I love Assassin's Creed. But anyway, so a couple things. Number one is now Assassin's Creed, along with Far Cry, these are their best franchises, and one other franchise I can't think of. I have officially changed over to the new Tencent deal. They're leaving the studios that have produced them all this time, and they're going to be moving to new studios and supposedly revamping Assassin's Creed to get it back to its former glory because Ubisoft lost a lot of money messing with games that just didn't work.
Yeah,
they tried to make a... I give them credit because at least for a partial comeback because I did like Assassin's Creed Shadows. Was it as good as some of the prior games that I played? No, but it was good. And they did introduce a couple of new elements that they have in other games, which was nice. Like, just from a standpoint of immersion, I really liked the weather changes. That was kind of cool because there's certain things that you experience when you're in the winter as opposed to the summer.
The seasons and then there's other times. A cool twist, yeah. That is
it true. Really did make a difference. The wind was blowing, the rain was hitting, and the sound effects to go along with that made it a lot more realistic. So that was kind of cool. I did like that. But they could have done more with it, and I'm hoping that, you know, more comes around. Now I read this new thing. Apparently they've got a hold of this is not rumor from what I understand it, but it says Ubisoft reportedly canceled an Assassin's Creed game partially due to political concerns. And I'm like, ugh, come on, man. I hate hearing stuff like this. So the canceled game would have starred a black man in a post-Civil War America. And because they think that's political, they decided to cancel it. I'm like,
I think that's only part of the story there, because if that is the premise of the game, I'm actually on board. Right?
Oh, I am too.
If that is a story, I'm actually on board. But there's probably a lot more under the surface than just that made it political. Because we gotta be honest, though, a lot of these games, they contain a certain message now, right? And
right.
Most of these games, I am sorry, they just aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
There's maybe an exception here and there, but I mean, let's go back to Shadows Creed. Oh my god. Assassin's Creed Shadows. Right, so this is one you can clip to Assassin's Creed Shadows, right? And the Yosuke thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a cool thing on paper to do because of the story? Yes, right? But we all know why they put him in the game, right?
Yeah, and it didn't work.
It falls apart on every fundamental level in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably something in there in that canceled game that was like, okay, in the current era, we can't do this anymore. Right? So we will never know. But I, on the other hand, I think it's a shame because the premise of the game, it sounds cool. There is something there.
I'm going to read a little bit more about what it was supposed to be about, which makes it actually more interesting and more frustrating if they canceled it. But anyway, it was supposed to take place during the Reconstruction period that followed the American Civil War. So we're talking around the 1860s, 1870s. It was supposed to follow a black man who had been formerly enslaved in the South and moved west to start a new life. He's recruited by the Assassin's Creed people, whatever. He returned to the South to fight for justice in a conflict that would, among other things, see him confront the emergence of the Ku Klux Klan. That's probably where the political thing comes. According to interviews of five current and former Ubisoft employees, so if they interviewed that many and they all said the same thing, then it's true.
There is something there, probably.
Yeah, there definitely is. They said that they canceled the game last summer. Wow. In Paris for two reasons. Online backlash about the reveal of Yasuke. So what they're saying is because there was controversy on a black samurai, they decided that a black during the Civil War, which makes much more sense than Yasuke does, that they're just going to kill it because of that.
Yeah, why I think there's more going on there than just that thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, come on, man. That's like so dumb. Yeah. I think it sounds great. I would love to see that. That would be so unique and different. That would be absolutely great. I'm hoping that maybe if they feel the air right now is not right, let's say, that they put it away, but don't put it away like forever and do it maybe in the future.
Yeah, this may sound stupid, but de-woke the game. Eh? And then I mean, it's so stupid because having a black person in a game is not woke. I mean, I don't think Yasuke is woke. I just think it's a stupid idea to put it
I'll
in there.
I'll tell you, man. I played the game because I knew I was going to play Naoe because I want to play the assassin.
Same thing.
But when they force you to play Yasuke on certain missions, not many, but there was a few, right?
There is a few.
Oh my God, I was bored, man. Come on.
It is. But the thing is, though, us Assassin's Creed fans, we have been begging for the better part of what now, 15 to 20 years from please do an Assassin's Creed in Japan, right? It is ideal to do it, right? And when they do it, they brought us Shadows. And from what we heard back then, they cut down Yasuke, right? A substantial amount, apparently. So,
yeah, so you're already diluting the character.
Yeah, I don't think the game is bad, by the way. I just think Yasuke is just... It's so off-putting in that setting, right?
Yeah.
And, in the one that they canceled, right? We don't know the name for it, so that's why I was, hesitating a little bit. So in the one that they canceled, right, a black guy would make total sense.
Yeah.
And it would be so, so cool to go up against the KKK. So.
Oh, yeah. That's why I wanted to see him. This is cool. This is different.
Yeah. And that's why I think there's something more going on there than that. So
because what I don't like about it, to me, it shows that they're just buck 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 chickening out on this thing.
Yeah,
I mean, why don't they just hand it to some other developer then instead that will have the kahunas, as they say, to go forward?
Yeah, I mean, make a good Assassin's Creed game. It doesn't matter the setting then. So,
The other thing I heard about Assassin's Creed was interesting. They said that there was a conflict going on as to whether they should have more adventures going on with the what they call the thing that you lie down in. I hate that stuff.
The Animus.
The Animus, and all this. Or should they cut it out totally? I'm in the group that they should cut it out totally.
Cut it away.
It's very immersion breaking to me. But some people are like up in arms and going like, you can't do that. It's been there since the beginning.
I get why it's still in there, but they should minimize it to a cutscene or something, whatever, like that. So.
Well, look, in Assassin's Creed Shadows, even before this, there was these offshoot missions that you run that are basically Animus missions. And I'm sitting there going like, I never play them because it's... But this time I decided just to see what one was like. As soon as I got in there, within the first 5 minutes, I'm going like, oh, my God, what is this crap?
No, no, no. I mean,
I had to get out of there fast.
Yeah, I played Black Flag a few months ago, right? Uh-huh. And there's a lot of those Animus missions where you go into the real world and there's a story in the real world. It's like, I just want to go back to being a pirate.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm hoping the remake cuts all that out, but I don't know. We'll see.
There's no word on the remake yet officially, yeah?
No. As far as I understand it, it's still targeted for by the end of the year or something.
Yeah,
I mean, if
it would come out this year, I think we would have known already. So,
well, they may be holding it for holidays. I mean, if you're gonna make a splash, you know.
To be fair, I think you're coping here, Gray. We'll see, but
I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
For the record, I hope you're right. Right, yeah. I want the game too. So
exactly. By the way, the new venture is called Vantage Studios. So this is the Tencent backed subsidiary dev of Ubisoft called Vantage Studios. No. And they started under the leadership of co-CEOs Kristen Charlie Guillemot, that's the son, I believe. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know if I hold a whole lot of faith in all that, but
wait and see. Huh?
Oh wow, they're gonna be. I just saw that Fortnite is gonna do a Scooby-Doo edition.
See, I don't play Fortnite, but I don't expect anything else from Fortnite, so I don't care.
I mean, to me, Fortnite is a unique game that does these kind of crazy things, and I think I'm all for it because there are people that like that kind of stuff, and I even like it sometimes, you know. But
I have a friend,
I don't
want to
see it in my normal games.
Yeah, I have a friend, and all she does is play Fortnite. That's all she plays. She only plays Fortnite. She streams on TikTok. She makes a little bit of money with it. I was like, okay, cool. You do you.
Exactly.
Fortnite is the kind of game that lends itself to do that kind of stuff, right? You know, the goofiness, the silliness. So,
a while back when they introduced the alien from Aliens, right? I went back to play it just because I wanted to be the alien. So that was fun.
I didn't even know that. I know Superman was in there.
Yeah, but Superman you couldn't buy the Superman. It was a limited time thing that went on in the game. And what it was from what I understand, and I did play it. It was cool. You went into some kind of a void thingy or whatever, and it turns you into Superman with all the Superman's powers, but you only can use it for a little while until it fades off, and then you're back to normal again. So it's cool, but I'm sitting there thinking like, well, yeah, but what if you want to play as Superman in some way? All the time, you can't.
Okay.
You know, maybe because they feel like, and I can understand this, maybe they kind of feel like Superman is so overpowered it wouldn't make sense in the game. If that's the case, okay, I can understand that, you know. But I look forward to seeing, and some of these things that are introduced that you can pick up or buy in Fortnite, they're not available, some of them, all the time. So if you get something like you bought the alien, so you look like the alien when you're fighting and stuff, and then it goes away. You own the alien still, so you keep it, but nobody else will ever have it again unless they come out again.
They are the masters in creating FOMO, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. They make so much money on all these skins and stuff like that. It's just amazing. I gotta give them credit. They have it down pat, man.
I don't like the game, right? It's not for me, but millions of people around the world play it, so who am I to say that it's not a good game? So, yeah.
You know what's kind of fun? Maybe you should try it. When I went back to play it, I noticed that they introduced some different modes. And one of the modes was that is a non-building mode. So you can't build anything.
So and like the original one then?
I actually kind of enjoyed that because I actually was able to be on more of an even keel. Because I can't stand people building crap like at the speed of light everywhere. And I'm like, it just... this mode, you can play no building. Everything else is the same, but no building. So I actually was able to get around and knock off a few people this time. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. But, you know, for those people out there that want to give it a shot, you know, and you don't like the building, play the non-build mode and maybe you'll enjoy it more.
Maybe someday. It's free to play. It's free maybe to play, right?
Huh? Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think that's even better when they say free to play and then they give you like, but look at these cool skins. You can be an alien. Drop
FOMO.
That money.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I know I did it more for my granddaughter, but when I bought the K-pop Demon Hunter girls, right, there's three girls and all the equipment that, you know, their weapons and stuff that go with them, just like the movie, it was $28. That wasn't cheap. and to buy that.
Can imagine that more than 1 million people would buy this. You do the math.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. K-pop is the biggest thing going on right now. So
yeah.
But smart you know what? Move, it was purely move. Because I knew my granddaughter would like it, and she was thrilled. So it was worth the money in that case.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, most of the times when you buy these skins, they don't usually charge you that much money. They'll charge a few bucks, but not 28. And I'm like, I guarantee you they made a killing probably on that one, I'm sure. I mean, everybody wants a K-pop Demon Hunter thing. It's just like, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
yeah.
I guess we were... Oh, by the way, if you didn't notice already, Trev has some things to do. Matt got caught in a traffic jam on the way home from work. Last I heard, he's still in it.
So now he's stuck with me here. So
that's right. So it's just us two, which is fine. We're carrying things forward or whatever. I don't know if there's anything else that you had in mind to talk about, Hans, or did you have something
not
in particular?
Specifically, I didn't see anything really special pop also at the moment. So.
Okay.
Unless you've got something
you,
that's...
I know there's only two of us, but I don't know whether you want to attempt the quiz or not.
You know what? I haven't seen the questions. Just do it. Let's see.
Just do it?
Let's see how much I know this
let's
one.
Let's see if you can shine. All right, we're going to do our quiz, and then I apologize everybody out there that the show's a little short, but that's because there's only two of us, and we had planned it to be a little different. But don't worry, we're on every week, and we still will be, and we'll give you plenty of stuff to listen to, and even now... So we're over an hour, so we're good.
My hand's here, so I can't cheat and type. So,
all right, let's see if the people out there can get the answers and think about this. And Hans is on the spot.
Yay.
So the first question is, what is the green crystal that hovers over heads in The Sims called? What is the green crystal that hovers over heads?
I never played The Sims. Don't worry about it. Next question.
I have neither, but some people have.
Don't know.
So apparently the answer to this green crystal's the name is Plum Bob.
Sure. It's funny like, though.
Okay.
No,
all right.
No
I'm sure you'll get this one. In the Fallout series, what are the wearable wrist computers worn by vault dwellers called?
Oh dear, you're a Pip-Boy.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. One out of two so far. Not
there
bad.
You go. Let's see.
Now I picked this next question for you. I thought we were going to have four of us. That would have been more interesting, but this you should get, I would think. Blizzard released a card game tied to the World of Warcraft universe in 2014. What is it called?
Is it Hearthstone?
Boom. Or... Very good.
Yeah, I was thinking Hearthstone or Heroes of the Storm. I think it's Hearthstone. I don't play those games, by the way, so it's Hearthstone, yeah.
I didn't realize that because I've heard of Hearthstone, but I did not know that it came out of the World of Warcraft side
of
things.
So you got this dude in here. I can't see him now. Like Ragnaros, in the back of me, is also in there at some point. Molten Core, but again, I never played Hearthstone. Apparently, it's still
but
very
you do
popular.
Play the old World of Warcraft still. I think
I only
no?
play classic World of Warcraft.
Okay.
So I play
what are
World of Warcraft.
Like, though? Are they still old looking stuff or?
No, it's I play on a private server. So,
okay. So
it's the one
fun.
That's being sued by Blizzard, by the way, now. Blizzard. Wait a minute.
Back up. Why is the private server being sued by Blizzard?
First of all, you know, it's intellectual property, so you can just, you know, take a game and then, you know, start private servers.
Okay.
They are illegal. No matter how you look at it, they are illegal. And this one is called Turtle WoW, and they have like 8,000 or 9,000 players at peak time and more. They have three servers. What they do is Classic Plus. So you got the normal World of Warcraft Classic, like the old vanilla version, right? And they added their own expansions or add-ons on top of it. You know, not endorsed by Blizzard, not by anything. But yeah, Blizzard at some point is saying, like, look, you're taking our property here. You're probably making a lot of money because you can buy things in-game, right?
But what's the difference if they do that than
because, Well, because if you play World of Warcraft through Blizzard, you need to pay €12 a month.
Okay.
So those are all lost customers. And from what I heard now, the lawsuit is pretty lengthy in this thing. They're also suing them for, it's actually a lot that they're suing them for. There's also some sort of terrorism act or something because...
What?
There's a law in the state, right? Apparently where if you funnel money from person A to person B and person B is already convicted of
money
something...
Money laundering.
Yeah, he's already convicted or something. they literally, it says in there like terrorist organization, all that kind of stuff. Like, whoa, what the hell?
Wow. So
it's a pretty hefty lawsuit. And
this has gone, definitely way beyond what I thought.
Blizzard is going to win it 100%, but the servers are hosted in Russia. So the server's not going anywhere, right? But
unless Ukraine puts them out.
Yeah, no, let's not go there.
yeah, right.
But, I mean, the person that does their social media for them, after a while, is based in the States. And he's going to get the full extent of the law.
Ooh, that's...
So he's...
He better be moving out real fast.
He's completely screwed. I mean, especially, I think, in America, which is a capitalist... You know, society, so to speak. Mm-hmm. No, and
yeah, I'm over here. I remember.
Yeah, that guy is screwed, right? They're gonna bring the full hammer of the law upon him, and yeah, the people.
Well,
now
that you brought this up, because I find it fascinating. Are there like a lot of other World of War? Well, it doesn't have to be World of Warcraft servers
Blizzard,
like this.
Blizzard, but... yeah, no, there's tons of them. And a few years back, you know, World of Warcraft has Classic, right? A classic version, which you can pay to play and all kinds of stuff. So. Mm-hmm. They had this server called Nostalrius, like, let's say 10 years ago now, I think it was, right? And Blizzard actually put a cease and desist to them, said, stop this now, right now. And they rebutted saying, look, you don't offer this experience to us. We just want to play Classic. We don't care about the retail version. We want to play Classic. And that directly, that, you know, they helped setting up Warcraft Classic. So Blizzard actually invited those devs of Nostalrius over to them, and they helped set up Warcraft Classic. And I think the reason they're shutting down Turtle WoW, because the community is asking for already 10 years now or something from do a Classic Plus. Right?
Oh, really?
And
okay.
This server is a Classic Plus, so there's something cooking there. The lawsuit goes beyond just Classic Plus, right? But there's something cooking there, and Blizzard does it regularly, shutting down servers. And it's their right. I mean, I think it's stupid and scummy, but it is their intellectual property. Nobody can dispute that, I guess.
If they got together with the people that started the Classic thing and they're able to work it out and there's a Classic now running because of it, why can't they get a hold of some of these others that came up with great ideas and work some kind of deal out?
Yeah, apparently, though, from what I read, the person that is hosting Turtle WoW is very much known into the emulation community. And she isn't pretty much, you know, she's a bit of a pariah, apparently. So she got some shady stuff and all that kind of stuff. Hence why the lawsuit is this, you know. Yeah, it's this.
The stacks,
this
like
it's like 57 pages or something.
Oh, that's small. Read,
so
there's bigger ones than that.
Yeah, I think for a lawsuit against a private server, I think that's a lot.
True.
So, yeah, let me see. Just very quickly
That's a shame it came down to that. It's too bad, you know.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it makes you wonder, why doesn't Blizzard take the cue and say, like, oh, this is really popular because they're doing XXX and come out with their own version? They can make money on it.
I think that's what they're doing. And the thing is, though, if Turtle WoW would shut down, which, by the way, is not going to happen because they can't touch the server itself, right? But if that were to shut down, then the only way you can play Classic Plus is on their official servers, paying 12 a month. And I get where they're coming from. I think it's stupid what they're doing, and I don't like it, but I see why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably if I would been a developer and I see somebody, you know, copying my game and making a lot of money off my game, I would be like, hey, guys, this is not right.
Well, you know that, unfortunately, even with like normal products and not so much games, the knockoffs are all over the world for lots of things. I mean, it's unfortunate, but it's also a fact of life.
Yeah, I think WoW is the best version of WoW there is. But yeah, who am I?
The whole idea, it's not easier said than done, but to compete with something that where you can be knocked off, the only way you can compete against it is to keep innovating fast so that they can't keep up.
World of Warcraft, it's a 20-year or 25-year now, I think, a 20-year-old game, right?
And I remember years ago, I played the standalones years ago.
The retail version is in such a bad place, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't resemble anything about the classic World of Warcraft. It's all seasonal now and all kind of stuff. Well, yeah. How do I say this bestly? The World of Warcraft Classic, like, you got a living, breathing world, right? Everything mm-hmm. is connected in there. If you can go fish, you can sell the fish. Other ones that buy the fish can use the fish for potions. The potions you yeah. can sell also for raiding and all kind of stuff. So everything was one big circle connected, and now that's all gone. There is no real community. You can play most of the things solo. They even added a one-button rotation now, which does your rotation for you. Just spam one button. That's how far we have come. And I am like, if your game is so complex that you need a one-button rotation, maybe fix the rotations of the characters.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So don't put a Band-Aid on there to have a workout around the problem. No, just fix mm-hmm. everything. And from what I heard now, they're doing it. But yeah, they lost me as a customer for retail anyway, so it doesn't matter for me anymore.
Yeah.
No,
I think that's kind of like how I feel about some of the Warhammer stuff. When the Warhammer stuff came out as single entity games, I really liked them. So I played like the early stuff, you know. And then when they kind of more fractionalized off to stuff that's online and other things, I mean, I'll give you for instance, the Space Marine 2, both the number 1 and number 2 that just came out, have been fairly well received as far as getting back to the basics. But I played it, and I don't know if it was 1 or 2, and I don't know, man. It was there was some cool stuff about it that I enjoyed, but it was so linear. I mean, really linear. I mean, it was almost like being in a long box that's only about like 10 or 12 feet, you know, wide, and you just go down that straight box for miles.
Oh yeah, okay. Because everybody I know that loves the game. The second one, Space Marines 2, right? The one that came out this year, I think it was, and I really want to buy it too, but it was too expensive, and now I kind of moved on already.
Yeah,
I will buy it in a sale probably at some point, but...
Wait till it goes on sale, and then if you do play it, let me know what you think. There is some cool stuff about it. I mean, I really love the characters, and they're tearing apart everything just the way they always do, and that's all cool. And...
Yeah, but I saw some clips of it, right? And it's all so metal. The guy just stood there on a pile of corpses. We will die with vengeance on our lips. Like, oh my God, this is so good.
And that's the good parts of the game. So I'm not trying to knock it completely. It's just that maybe I've grown out of games that are that linear. I mean, when I was playing Sniper Elite, yes, that's considered a somewhat linear game. It's not obviously not giant open world. It's map based. But I don't feel like it's linear, really. Even though I know it is, it plays really well. But when I was playing the Space Marine, that's all I could think of was how linear it was.
It's actually linear. Okay, because I was going to say, you know, I told you that I'm trying to play God of War Ragnarok now, right?
Right.
So I'm setting everything aside what I think of the game and all kind of stuff and of this kind of game. So for the record, I also beat Last of Us 1 and 2, games I don't like at all, right? But people say it's
you're unusual. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, but yeah, people say you gotta play this game because it's a good game, right? I didn't like him, but you know, when it came with the guest, like, okay, gotta play just to see what the hype is about. And quite frankly, I think the story and the gameplay, especially in Last of Us, is atrociously boring. But okay, right? So, Trev, he's a real big fan of God of War, right?
Me
and
too.
You always,
I love
him. And you too. You probably played Ragnarok also, right?
Oh yeah, sure.
And
yep.
I'm trying to play it now. I think it's better than The Last of Us because there's a little bit more action in here and all kind of stuff.
There's a lot of good action in it.
Yeah, the story is actually fine, right? I like the God of War story. I am a fan of the older God of Wars, which is more action slash orientated. And I kind of miss that one. And what I noticed is it's also pretty linear, this one. That you can branch off a little bit. But it's still linear gameplay.
Yeah, you can run around more and pick up loot and pick up other things. So it's not completely linear, but that's what I was trying to say. That kind of linear game or linear RPG doesn't feel like it's linear.
That's what my question was coming to. I know it was a long setup for it, but is it anything like God of War then? Like that kind of style?
I don't think so. Space Marine, I'm sorry for people that like it. I'm glad you like it and stuff like that. I didn't say I hated it. All I know is that it felt so linear that I couldn't play anymore. I mean, I was getting so frustrated because I was running like a little bit this way. No, that's it. And then I was running a little bit this way. Nope, that's it. And I'm like, it's almost kind of like, oh God, what's the game? Some of those games that put you into stages where you're just fighting. Okay. Like let's say the fighting games, like Mortal Kombat stuff, right? You're only on the stage playing, but you know what the game is like. So if you like that kind of fighting game, which I think is cool, that's kind of like the feeling I was getting in Space Marine, right? That you just couldn't go. You just couldn't go anywhere.
You couldn't go
to
the side center, because in God of War you can actually sidetrack a little bit in the
exactly.
stage you're in at the moment, right?
Right.
So I kind of like that. I'm not going to go in too much yet about God of War because I haven't played that much yet. But I kind of like that there's, it's linear, but there's some branches.
There's things
in there
to do.
Yeah,
there's
some branches
there. There's also stuff that you'll notice as you take these little offshoots or whatever. You run into like other stuff that's really cool, and sometimes even little mini missions or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff.
And that is what I missed in let's say like The Last of Us again, right? Especially in Last of Us 2, which is a little bit more open. And the game, like The Last of Us, looks gorgeous, right? I'm not saying anything about the graphics.
Right.
It's just for me that the story was completely nonsensical in especially in the second one. I didn't understand where they were coming from. And I have the same problem with the series, by the way, which I think you're also not a big fan of. We were one of the only people that were critical of the series. And we kind of got a bit of flack for it, too, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing with the games.
Yeah, I thought the same way you did about the series. I mean, the first year wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. And second then all of a sudden, when the second one came around, I was unwatchable.
It was unwatchable, yeah. I'm sorry. And that's why I always say, I don't like those kind of games, the Sony exclusive, like the third person over the camera with over the shoulder camera with stealth elements. And I'm trying to open up to them, right? Because so many people like him, right? So I'm always like, I gotta play him. And even though I despise Last of Us 1 and 2, I was like, I'm going through this just so I can have the opinion about the game that I don't like. And I'm going to do the same with God of War. But I don't think God of War is a bad game. Just let me say that outright. I just think that, especially in the beginning, there's so many cutscenes in those games. Like, am I playing a game or an interactive movie at that point of time? Because I read somewhere that God of War Ragnarok has like 13 hours of cutscenes or something. It's like,
I think
my
it's seven, seven and a half.
Yeah, it could be. It's still a lot, by the way, of cutscenes that maybe they're necessary, because so far I'm kind of invested in the story about what happens to Kratos. And I know that there's a rumor now that the next one is going to be in Egypt, which would be right up my alley.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the thing is, though, how they're going to do it, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, God of War, I'm trying it.
I think this would explain the difference between Last of Us and God of War. Last of Us, and you had mentioned this before, how you thought things were more of a movie as opposed to a game. I think that Last of Us is really a movie in a game. I mean, that's very, because you really can't venture off the way you think you can in that game. It just doesn't allow it.
But for me, The Last of Us, especially the second one, the story was so nonsensical. I mean, the second one, and the first one, I could kind of see where they were coming from, right? But why and I have no emotional investment in these characters, right? Why would they have you play with the killer of one of the main protagonists in the first game? It's like, someone has got to know that nobody's going to like this. Right? I was like, why? What is the creative thought process about doing that?
Yeah, and yet it has its fans, so.
Apparently, yeah, but sorry,
I mean,
continue about God of War.
With God of War, at least, you have so many things that you can do in the game, at the same time as still having a movie aspect. And I think the acting in God of War is really good.
True. And also the art style is really good.
Oh,
God of War.
The art style is fantastic. And when you see a Valkyrie, or you see a, what's it called? Midgard, the serpent, right?
Still,
there you go. And when you see the serpent, I mean, it's outstanding, man. You see this giant serpent come up, and then he starts talking. You know, it was really great. You should watch. I watched a mythology expert do comments on God of War.
Yeah.
It was about 20 minutes, and it was really good, because I'm sitting there listening to her, and she was saying, like, you know, what made sense to the myth or not. But she, at by the end of it, though, she said she really liked it. She was really impressed.
Were they close to the mythology? Because I'm not that versed in Norse mythology. So
she's, for the most part, they're very close and didn't deviate too much. But there were a few things here and there, and she pointed it out, but it wasn't
creative differences, probably.
Yeah, it was to make it a better game that we would or whatever.
Get it.
But she was pointing
out
stuff.
I'm going to plow through that game, and I'm going to give my honest opinion about it, and it's not going to be as negative.
You mentioned to me, though, that you were putting a mod in where you could play the cutscenes at three times the speed.
I haven't used it yet. It's in there.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So far, I haven't felt the need to do it. So,
okay,
which
that's a good sign then. That's a good sign.
I can already tell I'm going to like this a lot more than I do The Last of Us, but that's because I wasn't invested in the story. Right?
No, this God of War and The Last of Us isn't even close.
Yeah,
what I'm really hoping happens is, you do know they're making a TV series off the two games, and the showrunners on that are guys that are very experienced with this kind of stuff. And they've already said, because they've looked through all the cutscenes and stuff of the first two of those two games, and they said they really enjoyed a lot of the stuff in those games and where the emotional impact was coming from. And yes, of course, they have to take some liberties to put it onto television. But just by saying that they admired how much they admired the actors and the story in the game means that they're taking the cue, and they're going to be making it, I hope, very much like the game itself, as far as the dramatic stuff.
They should. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a fan or not of the games, right? But if you're gonna do a series based on the game, right, then do it like the game. That's one thing I may compliment the Last of Us series about, right? They almost took beat for beat the story of the game, right? To the extent that it's sometimes very boring, especially in the second season, where there's some really weird stuff happening. And well, I was thinking, was that in the game? No. So it made the series actually worse.
The thing that I was surprised, and I'm not trying to say I'm an expert on the games, but in the second season, where they decided to kill off what's his face, the father,
Joel.
Joel. I'm going like, wait a minute. He's one of the characters that people like the best, and they end up killing him off like in the second episode. Dude, the ratings for the show dropped dramatically after that happened.
Yeah, and then
the same with the game.
I mean, they kill him off in the beginning and go on this revenge spree, and then they force you to play with the other one. It was like, whoa, this is completely wrong, and it's called subverting expectations. I've been subverted enough by Star Wars, thank you very much. So I mean, I don't need that in my video games. And no, the second one, I had a miserable time in that game also. I mean, the gameplay was bad. I'm sorry, I don't like the gameplay in The Last of Us. And in God of War, there's actually some action, right? I had a
as you get playing it, you have a lot of action, dude.
Now, I'll finish the game, 100% I'll finish the game. I am not playing on hard. I'm playing on the easy difficulty, right? So
I don't blame you.
Okay.
I can tell you right now, because I tried the hard just for the heck of it. I was getting my butt beat way too often.
Yeah.
So I went right down to either the normal or
story
mode.
I just put it on story mode, this one, because
you know you will
game.
Like though. I don't know if it's the first God of War or the second one.
I played the first one too, way back. So.
No, I'm talking about these last two newer ones.
The first one in the Norse mythology, I played that one. Let's see when I played it. God of War, I played that back in...
Well, that was 2018, I think.
2022, I played it on PC. So 3 years ago.
So you're playing Ragnarok now?
I'm now playing Ragnarok, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, so now you kind of have... Since you played the first one, you realize the how it works, more or
the
less.
The thing was, though, I wasn't a big fan of the first one, and I plowed through it, and you know, maybe I didn't give that game a fair chance.
Because I
went in there very biased because of The Last of Us, right?
That wasn't a good idea.
And the thing is, though, the Sony exclusive, I have a love-hate relationship with those one. There's a few one that I really like Days Gone. I think it's one of the best open-world games, zombie games out there. If you play on survival mode, because then the HUD is gone, and you know, if you play on normal mode, the HUD is all cluttered, and I can see that's annoying. That I like the Horizon series. I think you like those too.
Oh, of course, I love
them. They're very good, and I like Uncharted also. But
I didn't play the new one.
Yeah, I like Uncharted also. Yeah, I like that one. And one can say there's not much gameplay in there. True, there isn't. But I liked it more because of the archaeological aspect. And I'm still an Indiana Jones fan in the end of the day. And
yeah, sure.
It draws heavily from Indiana Jones. And also
I was kind of on the fence about whether I wanted to play it, but maybe I'll do it now.
I like it, yeah. And Stellar Blade. Stellar Blade. The thing is, though, with Stellar Blade, we all know why most people like it. And hey, fair play, me too, right?
Yeah, but me too.
Do you think the game is actually good? And like, it's
I commented
pretty mediocre.
Before that
so,
I commented before that I thought that the battle scenes, the gameplay of when you really get into some battling, is actually better than I thought it was going to be. Now, the story, or whatever you want to call it, is,
it's
just there.
We all know why most people bought this game. There's no being here.
The story is nothing but a vehicle, you know.
Yeah. And then game I really couldn't get into, I couldn't finish, was Spider-Man.
I haven't played that, no.
I didn't like him. I don't know what's wrong, because it should have everything that I like. It has Spider-Man, it has an open world, so it should be a really good game. And for some reason, I just couldn't get into it. I don't know why.
What do you think was chasing you away?
I don't know. I have no answer.
I didn't play it either, but did you play the previous Spider-Man game?
This is the first one, the first Marvel Spider-Man remastered that I played on Steam. So, and I played it for, let's say, 12 hours, and I just dipped out. I was like, there was nothing in that game that, you know, made me come back to it, and I don't know why. Yeah. I don't have a definitive answer for it. I don't know why. So
sometimes another doesn't click.
Another game that a lot of people like a lot, and which is actually relevant now, is Ghost of Tsushima, right? The new one is out now. So the first one, I just say I played for 40 hours. I haven't finished the game yet, and I really don't want to go back for some reason. But that's probably a me problem. That's not Sony or anything. So there's something was lacking, and apparently Ghost of Tsushima is a lot better, everybody says, than Shadows. And I don't agree, but yeah, I'm one of the very few people that says that. I know.
I didn't play as much as you did, but I probably played around 12 hours or so of Ghost of Tsushima. I liked it, but I don't know if I like it as much as I wanted to. If that makes any sense?
Yeah, but 100%.
Now, I heard the new one, Ghost of Yote, which I think is supposed to be it's kind of the sequel, but not exactly. It's another
it's another story of a different
And I'm hearing mixed reviews on that one. Some people are saying that it's not as good as the first. They think cut corners. I don't know.
I don't know what to think of it. So, Sony, me and Sony exclusives, it's a love-hate relationship. God of... I promised myself that I would play The Last of Us back in the day. And I made a promise to myself that I will finish God of War Ragnarok.
You'll like it a lot more. The thing that I was impressed with...
I don't think it's a bad game, so that's already a start. No. So that...
You may or may not realize some of the actors, but some of the actors that were in the Ragnarok are actually known actors, besides Christopher Judge. The guy that plays Odin, he has a very good pedigree when it comes to TV and movies and stuff. The guy's played a lot of stuff. And immediately when I played that game and I saw him, they make Odin in his likeness, you know, the actor's likeness. So I was just going, oh, shit, I know him. Yeah, you know, so that was kind of cool. And the guy that plays Thor, if you've up to that point yet, the guy that plays Thor, the actor that voices
and
stuff.
Yeah, I saw him in the previous game. There was much discussion about, because we have a fat Thor, and it's like, that's how he was depicted in the Norse mythology.
Well, see, it's interesting you said that, because when the mythology expert watched this, she said the same thing you did. Thor was supposed to be a little bit...
It's one of the very few things I know about Norse mythology.
And she was going like, I wonder if he's got the hammer, Mjolnir, I believe they pronounce it. And all of a sudden, when she said that, he comes with the hammer, and she's going, and she said the hammer even looked more towards what the real stuff looked like, as opposed to like the Marvel version.
Yeah, now it's everybody thinks of Thor in the Marvel movies now, of course.
And that's fine, but this is more, you know. Yeah, I think that's why you'll probably like this. And the actor, I can't remember his name, but he is good. So you have Kratos, Thor, Odin, all those guys are great, and the woman that plays Freya, She's really good too. There's a couple.
She's the mother of the one you killed in the previous game, right?
I can't remember.
You killed
her
son in the previous game, I think.
Yeah. So now she's pissed off at Kratos.
She attacked me right in the beginning of the game. That's her. And then you got the scene with the dog dying. Like, whoa, there's a dog. The wolf that was dying. Fenrir.
Oh, I felt horrible when that happened. I felt so bad.
Yeah, but that's to set the story.
He's also a good actor. I never heard of him before, but. And you just felt so bad. Like,
okay, without spoiling anything, Gray, so tell me, is there an ending? Like, what I mean is the saga complete here? Or does it lend itself to a third one?
I don't
want to
give stuff away because you need to experience for yourself. But I can say is that in some ways, yes, some of
there
the
is,
ends
there is
are
an
tied.
Ending. Yeah.
There is an ending, but it's kind of an ending where some things are tied up. But it also leaves it open as to Kratos to be going on the next whatever.
Yeah, because in the previous one, it was a completely open ending. Eh?
Yeah, this I would say is not a complete. Again, I don't want to say too much.
No.
It's a satisfying end to a portion of what was going on in the game.
Right.
And then also, at the same time, still kind of gives that opening to, Kratos going
whenever
forward.
Whenever the next one comes out in Egypt, there may be a tie-in to this one
possibly,
as a reason to. Yeah, okay, okay, got it. Right, sorry for the long ramble, folks.
No.
I just want to say, if you hear me hesitate sometimes, I'm not a native English speaker, so I'm apologizing for that one.
What? You're kidding me? You speak fine English.
Yeah, but sometimes I need to search my words okay.
If I understand you, anybody can.
Yeah, true. So.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. So obviously, if you're listening to this right now, in a day or two, you can watch the video version, so you'll see some of the cool stuff that Hans was showing me. And if you want to see some very cool statues, you need to watch this on the video version of this. It's really nice. So thanks again, everybody. Thanks to you, Hans, and we will see you again next week. Say bye bye.
Next week because I'm in. I'm on.
Yeah, that's okay. Whatever. On off.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.